First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
All right, welcome to the BS Report. We're going to talk a little fantasy football today with our old friend, the talented Mr. Roto, Matthew Berry. By the way, I'm recording this intro after we did the podcast, so if you're just coming in for the pure football talk, it starts out with about 8 minutes of 90210 TV Hollywood talk, and then we delve into the good stuff. And then the last, like, 7-8 minutes, we talk about the NBA Finals. So right in that middle, if you just want the pure fantasy stuff, it's about like minute number 8 or 9 to minute number 50 or something. So there's a heads up for you. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, the most ubiquitous employee for ESPN, Mr. Matthew Berry. Matthew, how you doing?
I'm good. Really, you think I'm the most ubiquitous?
Yeah, right now you are. There's no question.
Only because you haven't been around.
In fact, if you had a company, like one of those production companies at the end of TV shows where they have the weird names, your company name would be You, like Y-O-U, and then Ubiquitous. It would be
yeah.
Ubiquitous Productions.
Sure.
That would work for you.
I always love the puns. My favorite one of those back-end ones.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember, but do you ever remember Stephen J. Canal?
Yeah.
When he'd type and then he'd throw the last paper up.
Yeah.
And do it. I have a friend, my friend John McDade, who I went to college with, used to say that the cable station that's been missing is the Canal Channel, all Stephen Jay all day.
Interesting.
Wouldn't you watch that? I mean, think about A-Team, Greatest American Hero, Wise Guy.
If you're going to ask a question that starts, wouldn't you watch that? My answer is probably 95% of the time going to be yes, no matter what the next part of the question is.
I love Stephen Jay.
I have the greatest name for a production company, though, that I think that I've ever heard in Hollywood.
Okay.
The immortal, the legendary Tiffany Amber Thiessen, who I think we both love.
Yes.
Her production company is called TAT Productions. It really is. Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, even better. Tit for Tat Productions.
Of course it is.
Tit for Tat, and it's a TAT, like
right.
Her initials for the tat. So Tit for Tat Productions. Try to bleep that, Joe Mead, because it's a fact. You can't bleep that.
You
Tit
can't
for
at all.
Tat Productions.
Every time I think I've run out of ways to love Tiffany Amber Thiessen,
yeah.
Somehow I find a little more sliver of my heart that I can give over to her.
You know,
so awesome.
The last 90210 ever was on last week, and of course I watched it, and I hadn't watched it for, you know, probably since it was on, and I tried to block it out of my head, so I actually forgot what was going to happen.
Uh-huh.
And, Do you remember the final episode of 90210?
Yes.
First of all, there's a bachelorette party.
Yes. It's the worst thing ever.
They invite all the moms, and they invite Mrs. Beasley, the principal.
No, Mrs.
From
Teasley.
Mrs. Teasley. Yeah.
Right.
Mrs. T from West Beverly High. The lady who, by the way, tried to ban Donna Martin from graduating. Apparently,
yes.
I was thrown out the window. Now she's having champagne with everybody. Bachelor party. For young David, featured a transvestite. These were the two bachelor parties in the last episode of 90210. And then on top of it, Jason Priestley, who they must have, like, roped in, had to give, like, his video message to each. Like, really, they couldn't have flown him in or done, like, a CGI or something, put him in the church?
I think that was as much as they could get out of him. And I literally think it was one sort of – that he had some sort of pilot deal. And
right.
That was like really to get the pilot deal was like, well, you got to do the last episode.
The funniest thing was it's like they put like 1 minute into the script because he was like, you know, it's like they turned the camera on like, Jason, just, you know, just ad lib, whatever. And he's like, Donna, David, you guys are great together. Like he said nothing. It was just terrible. I can't believe I'm excited for the comeback.
I am cautiously optimistic. I'm hoping it's not terrible. And then I sort of feel like it doesn't really matter if it's terrible.
How could they screw this up? It's like almost impossible.
Because the appeal of 90210, the original, is that it was terrible. I mean, just as you mentioned the last episode, it's like, really, Mrs. Teasley there, like
right.
playing, like dirty pin the tail on the donkey, like
yeah.
You know, off color, and they bring back, and they brought back Tiffany Amber Thiessen, and they brought back Valerie, but like, cause that was all they could find.
And don't forget Andre, who's available.
Of course.
Wait a second. We got to save this for another podcast because it's fantasy season.
Yeah.
And right now we have all these maniacs, hundreds of thousands of people everywhere doing their drafts. And it's funny because everybody reads like the seven or eight same fantasy columnists, all trying to glean the same sleepers or information. So we all go into these drafts with the same sleepers.
Right.
Because they're sleepers we've read or seen on TV. It's like nobody has an original sleeper anymore.
Well, there's so much information out there. It's really hard. And then you get into, and like you get into that weird thing of like you want to be original, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then you don't want to, you know, you don't want to say something like unbelievably stupid. So I'll get like, and I find a lot of glomming on. Like one guy likes a guy and then sort of everyone jumps on that. Like I used to read everyone religiously. Like, so I like was really kind of up on the whole fantasy industry. And I haven't read another fantasy columnist in probably 2.5 years.
I'll go you one further. I haven't even read you in the last month because I'm so afraid to screw up my own thought process with the whole thing. I've now reached a point where I'm now ignoring all the information that's out there.
Now, why would you do that? Why would you do that? Why would you ignore your own thought process? Really?
No,
that's fairly insulting to me, don't you think?
It's not insulting to you, but you're on record as saying that you now care more about your predictions than how your actual teams do. So I think maybe even subconsciously, you try to throw out some crazy predictions hoping they come true. Now, if my life was on the line, maybe I'm not going to say that John Kitten is going to throw for 4,000 yards. I'm not saying you said that, but you know what I mean?
I actually did.
That's one
of my predictions.
Oh, no. Did you really?
Yeah, listen. The 10 games last year that Roy Williams and Calvin Johnson were healthy on the same field as John Kitna, he averaged 280 yards a game. Put that over a 16-game season, that's over 4,000 yards. Yes, he has no Mike Martz, I understand that, but they still don't have a running game and they still have bad defense. Calvin Johnson is a monster, dude. He is going to have a huge, huge season. That team is going to be behind. They're going to be chucking a lot. I think Kitna has over 4,000 yards this year. But here's the thing. Wouldn't you rather your fantasy analyst? So many times I see these other guys, and they're like, I won such and such expert league, which is all crap. Wouldn't you rather a guy that, like, my sort of feeling is ESPN doesn't pay me to win fantasy leagues. They pay me to help you with your team. So, yeah, I care more about, I've been playing for over 20 years. You know, I've won more than enough leagues.
But so have I, though. I don't need your help.
I'm a professional.
Fine. I don't want you to mess my head up.
Yeah,
I don't want.
You
like,
have a
I had already liked,
definition of the word professional, by the way.
Yeah, but I loved Calvin Johnson. Now you like him, and now I feel like he's tainted in some way, like he's going to pull a calf muscle or something.
Now I'm worried about
Calvin Johnson.
Do you feel like, is it the same thing with sleepers? Is it? It's sort of like you see like a really hot girl, and then you find out like that your buddy like used to date her, and now she's like tainted.
I think that the analogy I would use there is like when you have the guy who's been in the – I always use this with Kevin Johnson. The new guy who's in the fantasy league who gets sucked into Kevin Johnson, the former Suns guard, and everybody else in the league had him, and it's like really funny to the other guys. Like, oh, he's hooking up with Kevin Johnson. Like he has no idea what's going to happen. So I would say that would be the analogy for that, no?
No, I sort of feel like it's what you're saying. Like, because I sort of saw like once – once I found out that I couldn't believe when the whole Clemens stuff came out about him and John Daly's ex-wife, and I was just like, really? After John Daly, you want to go there?
Yeah,
I just thought
that's interesting.
I don't care what she looks like. Once you've been with John Daly, you're off my list, dude.
But you know what can happen with something like Calvin Johnson, who. Yeah. You know, he fits a lot of the criteria that you and I know and some other people know where second year wide receivers sometimes you could just, you know, you can almost win a league with a guy who makes that leap. But on the other hand, if everybody's kind of zoning in on him, all of a sudden Calvin Johnson is going with the 19th pick in the second round and everybody's like, wait a second. You know, he's not a sure thing. Like that's almost like, you know, you've almost inflated his value by two rounds.
You get to that, you definitely get those guys that have been hyped so much, they're overhyped, and they're not worth it. Or then you get to guys that have been dogged so much that they're so far down that now they're actually like a good value.
Yeah, I actually like to hone in on guys that I don't hear a lot of people talking about. Like Wes Walker last year was one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I just felt like I had a specific reason for liking him. I just thought he was going to be perfect. I thought Brady was going to click with him. But, you know, you look at some of the guys this year, and I keep hearing the same things on TV and reading them in the magazines, like, you know, Antoine Randle-El, he's going to explode this year in the Redskins' off. Jim Zorn's going to figure out a way to use him. Like, how do we know that's going to happen?
Well, you have to figure if you're Jim Zorn, you don't have a lot of other options there, right? I mean, it's him and Santana Moss. I mean, guy's just an athlete. You know,
but he's never done it before.
Happen.
But he's never done it, though.
No, this is true.
Like that's what worries me, is like guys like that who are artificially inflated because what we think they could do, but they've actually never done it. Like I like for fantasy, I like Marvin Harrison, who finally sucked last year after 4 years of everybody waiting for him to take a drop. But I like finding those guys like Chipper Jones this year.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that's kind of, we've all had him on our team. We're a little tired of him. His stock slips for no real reason. And then on top of that, he's going to have that one last really good year before it kind of fades into the sunset.
Right.
Like who do you see in the NFL a guy like that this year?
A guy with one last good year?
Yeah, a guy that, you know, he's been around for a while. We kind of know what to expect. And then all of a sudden he raises it and has like one last career type of year before we don't see him anymore.
I'll say Torrey Holt.
See, there's a great example. You take Torrey Holt in the third round, you're not that excited about it because we've all had him.
Right. I really like Torrey Holt. I'm actually high on the Rams this year.
Hmm.
I know you and I were emailing back and forth about Steven Jackson. But
yeah, I just think you're dead wrong on that.
We'll see. My argument here is that Torrey Holt has, last year, Torrey Holt had like this terrible year, right? Everyone was like, ah, Torrey Holt, terrible, terrible year. And then you look at like actually what he did, 93 receptions, almost 1,200 total yards, 7 touchdowns.
Yep.
Like a pretty good year for a guy that was, quote-unquote, terrible. 93 receptions each of the last 2 years. So if you're telling me Torrey Holt's going to catch 90 balls, you know what? I like my chances. He had like gusts of froth throwing to him. They didn't really have a running game last year. The offensive line was stacked up. Whatever the Rams are this year, they've got to be better than they were last year.
But isn't their offensive line just as bad?
It's,
what is different about it this year?
They're at least healthy somewhat. They're at least healthy. I mean, Orlando Pace is still getting back into shape, but into a shape. But you know, they're at least somewhat healthy. They're at least healthy. I mean, they were literally under their entire second string last year, it seemed like.
I know. I was wagering against them. So you have Jackson in your top five, even though he doesn't catch passes anymore.
He will though. He's going to catch passes again.
Why? Did he tell you that?
He did not tell me that. Although I will say, I did talk to him and he was very excited about Al Saunders. This is why I think, is because of Al Saunders.
Oh,
the new offensive coordinator there. Remember, Al Saunders has said, I want to use Steven Jackson the way I used Priest Holmes back in the day. Okay, so that means a lot of pass catches. You look at what Saunders did with Clinton Portis in Washington. Clinton Portis, by the way, caught 47 balls last year. It's not like Clinton Portis is, you know, Kevin Falk either.
Mm-hmm.
And Clinton Portis caught 47 passes last year. So they do pass, he will pass to Steven Jackson in that offense. Al Saunders loves the running back in the red zone. And again, you know, assuming Bulger stays healthy, they've lost Isaac Bruce, so now Drew Bennett is the number two guy, who I think is also a sleeper.
He's going to be
the focal point of that offense.
Hold on. He's what you borrowed my fantasy kryptonite theme, and he was one of the fantasy kryptonite guys. I saw that TV piece he did.
Yes. Thank you.
I liked Drew Bennett is a great fantasy kryptonite guy. Everybody kind of likes Drew Bennett for reasons that are maybe clear or unclear. I don't know.
Yeah.
But wait a second. So you think Steven Jackson, if you were picking in the top five and he fell to you at number five, you would take him at number five?
Yes, I would.
Well, let's figure that out. This is one of my questions for you. Because as anybody who's ever heard this podcast knows, you and I could probably talk about this for 4 hours. So we're gonna go for a 45-minute time limit here.
All right.
So how many, you know, doing the whole tier system, level one, first round, first pick, how many sure things do you have? Like, for instance, I have 7. How many sure things do you have before there's that little cutoff where now you're like, well, what do I do at number 8? Like, I think number 8 is the pick I would not want in this draft.
Oh, really? I think it's 6.
6. Interesting. So who are your 5?
My 5 are, in order, and I've gotten some crap about this, but LT, obviously a 1. I have Westbrook at 2. I have Joseph Addai at 3. Adrian Peterson at 4. Jackson at 5.
Okay, so Brady and Moss are out.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I have Brady at six.
So you don't consider Brady a sure thing because you're worried about his foot?
Worried about the foot, worried about the fact. I mean, I think Brady's as sure a thing as there is at quarterback. But, you look at history, right? The year after Marino threw 48, he threw 30. The year after Manning threw 49, he threw 28.
Mm-hmm.
Brady threw 50. I mean, if Brady throws 38 this year, that would still be an amazing season. But people would consider it a disappointment.
And he should probably throw high 30s.
I think he'll throw between 35 and 40.
Which is nice, though, if he throws 4,000 yards.
Which is a fantastic year by any measure, but people will consider that a disappointment.
Hold on, before you go, you just reminded me of something, because I was thinking about that Al Saunders thing, and then I forgot to mention this after you were done. I'd love to know, here's something for Aaron Schatz and the football prospectus guys.
Uh-huh.
This whole thing when the offensive coordinator switches teams, and everybody's like, oh, he's got Al Saunders. It seems like half the time it doesn't quite work out. Like, we kind of thought that when Martz went to Detroit, and that didn't happen. I'd love to know, like, you know how they do those graphs where they have, like, the 20 cases that this happened since 1984?
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to see a graph of what the actual effects were on a quote-unquote high-profile offensive coordinator switching teams, if that actually was a difference or not.
Well, that's a good question for our crack ESPN research department.
That would be good, too.
Yeah,
Either one. Whoever wants to answer that, I would love to hear the answer.
Yeah. I'll send a note. We have a crack ESPN research department, which, among other things, did this one. Because it's funny you mentioned Martz. One of the guys I'm down on this year is Frank Gore. Because everyone's all like, oh, Mike Martz, we believe in Mike Martz. So I said, all right, last 5 years, the lead back in a Mike Martz offense, what's he done? Combined yardage, because obviously he throw a lot of passes.
Mm-hmm.
Lead back in a Mike Martz offense the last 5 years, including Steven Jackson, including Marshall Faulk, 1,109 total yards. That's what they averaged.
Yeah, it's not good.
Last year, that would have been good for 60th. Meanwhile, Frank Gore has never scored double-digit touchdowns in his career. Never. And I know a lot of people are like, well, but they're going to, Mike Martz is smart, and he's going to feature Gore more because he knows he's the best thing he's got. And I'm just like, you got to understand something. Like, you've seen Mike Martz with mediocre talent. You saw what happened in Detroit. San Francisco is a team with mediocre talent.
Oh, come on. JT O'Sullivan's coming on.
Listen, if I had a restaurant, I would certainly hire JT O'Sullivan to be the name of it.
Do you think that's a better or worse name than R.W. McWhorter's for a sports pub?
I think it's better. JT O'Sullivan's because it's Irish.
R.W. McWhorter's just makes me want to play pool for some reason.
R.W. McWhorter's, it's got the quarters in there, and you could definitely see going there and playing quarters at the bar or shooting pool. But J.T. O'Sullivan strikes me as like a Chili's kind of place, like a Bennigan's. Like, I feel like if you go to J.T. O'Sullivan's, like, people have flair. You saw Office Space, right? They got flair on their jerseys and everything like that. And there's lots of neon signs and sports jerseys that have no reference to the team at all, the city.
There's not a girl in JT O'Sullivan's below $1.60.
That is absolutely correct. Unless there's probably two waitresses that are hot.
Semi-hot?
I take that back. They're like 6.5, but get hit on all the time because there's tens at JT O'Sullivan's.
Hey,
you know what JT O'Sullivan sounds like to me?
What?
Bristol, Connecticut.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
That's coming out. Hey, do you miss living in LA and like going to a place like what's Big Wang's, the sports bar where they have the waitresses that kind of looked like they might have done one amateur porn like 4 years ago, but then realized maybe it's over and now they're a waitress there, but they're still kind of cute. Do you miss that phenomenon?
Only every day of my life.
The reality stars who were on like, Real World 7 years ago, who's now working at Barney's Beanery.
Yeah, I would miss that, one of the guys from Road Rules was the waiter. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah, I totally miss that. Of course.
That would be in my top 50 things that I love about living in L.A. That's definitely in there, the service industry and just the random celebrity, pseudo-celebrity sightings. Wait, we got off track, though. So who would you take if you had number six?
I would probably take Brady.
How about number seven?
Portis.
Portis. Wow. Really?
Yeah, really.
Over Marion Barber. You're not buying the Marion Barber thing.
I like the Marion Barber. I have Marion Barber at eight.
You're not worried about Felix Jones with him?
I am a little bit worried about Felix Jones, but not enough to move him up. I really like Lynch a lot, too, although I'll probably move Lynch down a little bit because I'm still concerned about this offensive line holdout. Mm. You know, and Langston Walker's a little banged up, so...
I have to be honest. I don't love, like, the all those running backs are in the same spot. Barber, Portis, Frank Gore, Marshawn Lynch, Larry Johnson. All kind of, you know, you can make cases for either any of those five guys over any of the other five guys except for maybe Larry Johnson, but I don't really like any of those guys.
I do. I'll tell you why. Marion, I can make cases for all of them.
I know you can. Right. I can make cases against all of them.
Would you like to do that? It's your podcast.
No. I'm not saying – I'm just saying it worries me. If I had the ninth pick.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to bang out my two running backs right now. And my two running backs that I take are Frank Gore and Marshawn Lynch. Am I really going to win my fantasy league with those two guys?
Probably not, but I wouldn't.
Yeah, I don't feel like I would.
That.
Well, I'm not – but I'm just saying that, you know, those are the guys that you would conceivably think about if you were 9 or 10.
I guess so. I mean, but to me, if I'm 9 or 10, then I'm probably taking Moss. I'm probably doing one of those running backs. Well, Gore's not going to be on any of my teams. I'm really down on Gore this year as a first-round pick. But I would probably take, like, T.O. or Moss and, like, one of those running backs, whether it's Marshawn Lynch, whether it's Ryan Grant. I believe in Ryan Grant in a big way. I'd love it if Portis or Lynch or Barber fell to me.
Let's say we're in a draft together and I have the 7th pick and I take Moss. Do you make fun of me?
No, not at all.
Do you make fun of me if I take Tony Romo?
No. I think that's too early. But, you know, this is one of the things that I say a lot. Like, I was at this fantasy football convention in Chicago this past weekend.
I bet all the ladies were out.
Oh, yeah. It was a real J.T. O'Sullivan's. And so, anyway, I got all that question all the time. Like, hey, I got the number 2 pick, but I'm thinking Brady. Is that too early? You know, or I got the 4 pick. Is that too early for Brady? I got that question a lot, and I was just like, ostensibly, yeah, sort of, but, dude, it's your team. You know, it's your team. You're the one that has to live with it all season long, and he's not coming back to you. Like, there's a very good chance that if you're at 7 and you take Romo, or you pass up Romo, that you won't get him on the way back.
Look, this is one of my big arguments. I did this with Walker last year. I took him 10 spots before he should have gone, but I knew I wasn't getting him if he was coming back. And you agree with this. Sometimes you just got to take the guy you like. Don't worry about whether it's 8 spots before, 6 spots before. Just get him.
Yeah.
And I feel like at Romo, I really like Romo.
Yes.
I think Romo could have a huge year. I don't know if I'd take him at 7, and I'm not picking in that spot in either of my drafts, but like if I had like the 9-10, I would definitely take him with one of those two. I mean, no question. I think he's guaranteed 4,000 yards, 35 TDs. Lock it in.
I love Romo. I've been on record as saying I have Romo ahead of Peyton Manning, and I don't think it's close. I have Brady, then Romo, then Manning, and I've gotten a lot of crap about that, and people mm-hmm. think that Manning, you could argue Manning number one versus Brady because he's been more consistent. You know, Brady had the amazing year, but, you know, Manning always puts up numbers. But I think I would probably go running back, wide receiver, and then in the 3rd round try to get Breeze.
Or what if somebody took Breeze 23, like 5 spots too early, and you had 26, but you wanted a quarterback?
Then Roethlisberger. I think there's 4. I think there's those 4, Manning, Breeze, Brady, Romo. Then I think Roethlisberger's by himself at 5. And if I didn't get Roethlisberger, I would wait till everyone else had a quarterback because they're all the same after that.
We were looking. My buddy Sal was over, and he's going to be in the podcast this week as well. We're going to do our top 50. But we were looking at Roethlisberger's stats last year, and they're
crazy.
Really secretly very good. You would never have guessed. And I would have been
off. Well, if you'd ever read me, dude, yes, you would have guessed. I talked about him all the time.
No, but I'm just
sending you links.
No. Here's the thing. After the tragic events of 17-14, I did not think about the NFL for 8 months. I didn't really watch the draft. I didn't follow the free agent signings. I mean, I came in fresh in mid-August, just reading magazines and books, trying to figure out who was on what team. So I had forgotten that Roethlisberger had a good year. I had also forgotten that David Garrard had such a good year.
I have Garrard as my number 8 quarterback overall. I love David Garrard this year.
Well, now he's got the cokehead Matt Jones off the team, replaced by somebody who's not doing coke. Maybe that bumps him like 400 yards, right?
It certainly can't hurt.
Can't hurt him.
It certainly can't hurt. Last year, guy threw only 5 interceptions. on a average over 15 fantasy points a game last year, and that includes the Colts game where he got knocked out basically very early on and didn't do anything. If you pull out that game, you know, and just go with the games where he started and finished, and I know it's a little fuzzy math here, but he averaged over 16 points a game, taking over a 16-game season, he would have been a top-8 fantasy quarterback. As it was, he was like a top 13 fantasy quarterback, only played 12 games. Now he comes into the camp, he knows he's the number one guy, which he didn't have last year,
yep.
And he's got better receivers. Are they great? No, but they're better than what he had last year.
It does worry me that he signed for a lot of money. I hate taking any fantasy guy after they've signed for like more than $50 million. It always makes me nervous. I call it the Vernon Wells corollary.
Yeah.
You don't want Vernon Wells after he signs the $120 million contract. You just don't.
I call it, I don't have the hate for Vernon Wells that I do like Denny Nagel.
Mm.
I would say Denny Nagel or Mike Hampton, both of whom have gotten my sports hate because they left winning teams to go sign with Colorado for the money.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with signing for the money, business, but just cop to it. Both of them said something stupid like, well, you know, the school systems here in Colorado are really terrific. One of them said that. I think it was Hampton, but it might have been Nagel. But one of them said that. I remember thinking, come, the school systems, really?
You left out the best example ever of this was Mike D'Antoni.
Right.
Who just sold out for the Knicks. Like just a total sellout, the worst possible roster for his system in the league out of the 30 teams. And he's like, well, I've always... Yeah, it's going to be a challenge, and I love challenges.
I love that.
Yeah, especially when I'm getting paid $6 million a year. I love challenges at that point.
I love a challenge. How can I spend $6 million in a year? That's my challenge.
Meanwhile,
how can I spend all this money?
Meanwhile, the Bulls needed a head coach. They wanted him. You know, he didn't even wait until to see how the lottery played out because he could have gotten the number one pick, which he didn't know at the time. And they had a much better roster for him.
He wanted
a challenge in New York. Hey, hold on. Let's get back to football because – I have convinced myself that this Peyton Manning thing is going to just swing every league.
Okay.
Because he's either going to go higher than he should have gone or he's going to go lower than he should have gone. But if he goes lower than he should have gone in just about every league, and it's kind of looking that way because now there's rumors he had knee surgery, all that stuff. But and he comes back and somebody gets him with like the 23rd pick and they get a guy who throws for 4,300 yards and 40 TDs like he always does. That swings the league.
Yes, it does. I don't know that. I mean, he's currently going 11th overall on the ESPN live draft results. So
yeah,
he's currently going, which is the first pick in the second round on a ESPN standard league.
But I just read Peter King today, and he was saying how there's this. He was trying to confirm reports Manning got a second knee surgery. That made me worried.
That makes me worried too. This is why I'm down on Manning. This is why I have Romo ahead of Manning. I had in my own personal rankings, I have Manning at 30 overall, and I got unbelievable amounts of hate mail about it. So, because here, something that people don't realize, the whole reason you get Manning, right, is because he's consistent, Mr. Consistent, and because he's so charming on those commercials.
Yeah.
So, last year, there were 7 games, almost half a season, Bill, 7 games where Peyton Manning threw 1 or 0 touchdown passes. Put it another way, there were only 9 games last year where he threw 2 or more.
So you're saying at age 32, maybe we've seen the best of Peyton Manning.
I think I just don't think it's as explosive an offense as it was. It's still a very good offense. But, you know, I also look at the offseason, and I look at the fact that they brought in Dominic Rhodes, and they drafted Mike Hart, and they've got Kent and Keith there still, and they've got Adai. And I don't know. I feel like they're going to run the ball a little bit more. Who knows what Harrison's health is like. You know, I think Harrison's going to be decent, not great. I don't think he's going to be Marvin Harrison anymore, but I think he's going to be like a solid number 2 wide receiver, number 3.
I'm with you. I don't like guys who either are coming off big injuries or potentially might be injured right now in football. I think it's the one sport where you just don't mess with it. Unless it's like, you know, the middle of the third round and Manning's sitting there at like 28 or 29 or something. You're like, okay, I can't forgive myself if I don't take him. But I think if you're penciling him in as your second round pick, and you're picking 13th or 14th, and you're just basically tying your whole season to whether his knee's okay. That's not fun. If it doesn't work out, your season's that's it.
Absolutely.
No. Who do you think is
safe early? You go safe early, and then in the middle and later rounds, you go upside.
third best wide receiver behind Moss and Owens, in your opinion? Oh, I'm sorry. Wayne would be third. Who's fourth?
I actually have Braylon Edwards 3 ahead of Wayne.
Ahead of Wayne, interesting.
I have Wayne at 4. I think they're right there. I just think Braylon has a little more upside. But I mean, Wayne's amazing.
So who do you have 5?
Marcus Colston.
And then 6?
Fitzgerald? 6. I'd have to actually look at my rankings, to be honest.
Well, then,
I'm updating them tonight, so.
Yeah, but if you have to look, that means it's unclear, which is kind of the answer.
Yeah.
I kind of want to anyway. All right, so big comeback sleeper. That somebody who's been good before, maybe hasn't been good for a year or two, and now you think is going to be good again. Of the Donovan McNabb, Larry Johnson type ilk.
Yeah, I mean, I actually believe in Donovan McNabb. I've like I said, the Rams. I think Mark Bulger and Torrey Holt have really nice years this year. Let's see. I could see Hines Ward having a nice year.
Oh, he kind of fits that theory I had before about the guy, the one last big year before they're not good anymore.
Yeah, I think he's a guy. I'm high on the Steelers as a whole offensively, especially their passing game. They're really airing it out. I mean, you know, forget that, like, Santonio Holmes and Hines Ward were nicked up all last season. There weren't a ton of games where the two of them were both healthy at the same time. And Roethlisberger still threw 32 touchdowns.
Is everybody in the Giants a no-take? Like, that team just looks like it's going to be jinxed.
I'll give you one. I mean, I think Plaxico will be fine. I'm not crazy about Jacobs where he's going. I like him from a skill standpoint. And I mean, the guy was dominant when he's on the field. The problem is, can he stay healthy? I'll give you a good stat. Here's a good stat. Last year, Amani Toomer, top 12 in the NFL in red zone targets. Had a couple of touchdowns in the playoffs. Eli looks for him a little bit. I mean, if you're looking at your last, you know, that's a guy where you talk about like absolutely no upside. But in your very last round, maybe I could see Amani Toomer being okay this year.
Am I crazy for being attracted to all the Jets from a fantasy standpoint?
You're not crazy at all. I'm actually very high on all the Jets.
All of them, including Thomas Jones? Okay.
Love Thomas Jones. Love Jericho Cotchery.
I had Cotchery last year. That guy is solid. He is. He's just every week.
Yeah. 82 catches last year. He's increased his yardage every year he's been in the league. And I had, Nate Ravitz and I do a daily fantasy podcast. We actually do two. We do a baseball one and we do a football one, and which are available for free on iTunes and at PodCenter and ESPNRadio.com. There, I got that plug in.
You're my bet. If we ever go to a 24-hour podcast, I think you're the guy.
Yes, I appreciate that.
Like Ed TV with Matt McConaughey. Like we do the podcast version. That's gonna be you.
There's no question. I think so because there's really no reason to hide anything in my life. There's nothing interesting enough to hide. Anyway, so we had this podcast, and on the podcast we had Antonio Freeman on. And so I talked to him. I said, look, you were Favre's main guy for so many years in Green Bay. Like, talk to me about Favre. What's he going to do? And what he said was basically, he's like, look, Brett's going to find a guy. He's like, for a lot of years it was me, and then it was Donald Driver. Brett, you know, likes to have a guy where he knows this guy on every single play. Where is that guy? You know, so that if the play breaks down, I can find him. Who's the guy, you know, I can trust? And he says on the Jets, that's going to be Jericho Cotchery.
Because
he can stretch the field, because he's younger, because he's not in love with Chad Pennington, whatever it is. It's going to be Cotchery. So I think Cotchery has a monster season this year. And by the way, I think, here's my question for you. Do you think Favre beats the Madden curse?
I'm worried about the Madden curse. On the flip side, all signs point to the Jets being good. Easy schedule. They got like just a bunch of new guys that are, you know, they really did a bad job with free agency 2 years ago. This year they did a good job. They've had two good drafts in a row.
Look, that's that offensive team line, Alan Faneca, Damian Woody, going along with Nick Mangold, center, DeBrickashaw Ferguson. They brought in Tony Richardson, like one of the best blocking fullbacks in the NFL.
On paper, they look like the team that should make the jump. I haven't totally decided on that yet, but I'm like 90% leaning toward them. And this, you could even made a case before Favre that was the case.
Yes. Oh, definitely.
So, yeah, I'm with you on the Jets. Now, do you see an NFC team like the Jets where you just feel like, I like that team, I like the way they're shaping up, all of their guys mark up?
Well, two of them. One is...
Oh, you said the Rams already.
I said the Rams, and, I'm a Redskins fan. I'll just cop to that. but I do really like what the Redskins have done. People forget this was a playoff team last year. Now they've got Campbell healthy. You know, I'm glad that Jason Taylor's okay. It's going to be a good defense. They're going to be able to run the ball very well. I'm a Campbell believer. Santana Moss, Antoine Wendell. I think the offense that they're going to be running, basically getting them the ball on short passes and let them do damage after the catch, is a good fit for their skills. Remember Zorn coming from Seattle Seahawks last year, tied for 6th in the NFL in terms of total touchdown passes. So, I mean, this is a team that, you know, Zorn is a former quarterback, obviously, likes to throw the ball.
You mean the same Zorn who's never been an offensive coordinator or head coach at any level of football?
Yep. You know what my basic take on this is that I remember, this is going to sound so dumb, but go with me here. You pick the guy, when you're filling a position, you either get the guy who is the guy or the guy you think can be the guy. You don't get one of these retreads. You either take a shot in the dark or, you know, you get like, you know, you get a huge stud. Like, I remember when I've been a Redskins fan since I was 5 years old. And I remember being very, very young and George Allen left and, oh no, it was Jack Pardee. Jack Pardee left. And they're trying to figure out who was going to be the next Redskins coach. And Bum Phillips was available. And he'd remember with the Oilers, Love You Blue, and been so great, and he's so clever. And anyway, and so a lot of people were speculating that Bum Phillips was going to be the guy, and he was the front runner. And they went out and they got this obscure guy from San Diego named Joe Gibbs. And everyone was livid. How could we not get Bum Phillips? You know, he'd come so close in Houston. And, you know, and obviously that worked out. The same sort of principle applies here, right? If you're not going to get the guy, get somebody you think can be the guy.
And hey, if you say so, as long as you have talked yourself into this.
I thought that was fairly convincing.
I thought that was fairly convincing
in talking myself into it.
The only problem is that every NBA team, except for about four of them, ignored all the advice that you just gave, and they just picked guys who have failed for other teams.
Well, of course. That's the problem with the NBA. It's retread city.
On the
Not
bright side, though.
Not everyone can go out and rent a championship like your Celtics.
On the bright side, though, after watching Marc Gasol light it up in the Olympics, he's clearly a 12th man in this league. So we have to reevaluate the Pau Gasol trade. But Marc Gasol, I think, now has established himself as a 12th man candidate. He's got the beard. He's a little goofy. He might be able to stumble around for 2 minutes.
Yeah, no, he's a foreign Mark Madsen.
Did you stay up for that Saturday night game?
I did.
It was excellent. I loved it.
That was a great game.
It was, 118-107, 40-minute game.
Oh, yeah. No, it was terrific.
It's a great game. I'm glad your boy finally won something, too. That was nice.
You mean other than an MVP and 3 rings?
Well, the MVP was suspect.
The three rings.
He was
better than name. Are we gonna have the Kobe KG debate again?
No, we're gonna wait for October for that. Now I've conceded the KG. I think Chris Paul should have won. But I'll tell you one thing.
If you're
gonna
make an argument, that would have been the one to make.
I'm gonna tell you one thing though. I will spend the rest of my life wondering why Jason Kidd played a minute in these Olympics, and nobody will ever be able to answer that question for me.
Because he's Jason Kidd.
Good, congratulations. Then,
no,
then
I know.
Have Larry Bird
or something.
Then have Larry Bird start a power forward. I mean, if you're just putting guys on because they used to be good, that's just ridiculous. That drove me crazy. Did Spain have a single guy who could guard Chris Paul?
No.
I'd like to just have them come out one at a time, and I will give them $1,000 that they can stop Chris Paul from getting a layup. None of them would be able to do it. And Chris Paul was like played half the game. I was almost to the point where I was rooting against Team USA because I was so outraged by Coach K, and I just can't stand Kobe and Jason Kidd. It just drove me crazy.
Don't hate on Kobe.
Don't hate on Kobe.
I understand not liking Jason Kidd.
How about Coach K?
Ugh, terrible. One in spite of himself.
I think we should have a general election for the next Olympic coach. I don't like how it's just randomly decided that it should be Coach K. Why can't we vote on this? We have all these elections. Wait, I mean, with the presidential elections in 2 months, can't they put the Olympic coach on there?
It certainly seems reasonable. It certainly seems like something we could make a little Sports Nation poll out of.
Yeah. Oh, that would be good. Yeah. Do a Sports Nation poll. Let's test that out. Hold on. We're running out of time. You have 2 minutes to give me your three biggest sleepers.
My three biggest sleepers. Chris Johnson of Tennessee. Chris Johnson of Tennessee.
That was my biggest sleeper.
Yeah.
Now he's going to die or something. This is terrible.
No, stop it.
He's going to get hit by a truck. This is, we've agreed on our number one sleeper. I love this Chris Johnson guy.
Well, first off, understand that Tennessee attempted the most runs last year of any team in the NFL.
Yeah, they were, their running backs were awful.
Exactly. And by the way, as bad as the running backs were, most rushing attempts, fifth most rushing yards, fifth most rushing touchdowns. So they ran the ball effectively despite the fact their quarterback couldn't pass,
yeah,
and their running backs didn't have any talent. Meanwhile, Lendell White, single-digit fantasy points in five of his final eight games.
He's awful.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, he's going to waddle into the end zone maybe eight or nine times.
I actually watched some of the draft, and the guys were, like, confused why they would go running back again. It was like, obviously they felt like they still hadn't gotten it right. Like, you got to go back to the drawing board if it's not there. You need a running back to win. All right, second one.
Well, I mean, how deep do you want to go? Like, I mean, like I said, I really like David Garrard this year, quarterback. I like Matt Schaub quite a bit. I actually think, you know, I could see, like, I think Steve Slayton on the Texans. Steve Slayton and Chris Taylor. Those two running backs.
It's a strong name.
Yeah, it is.
I like that name.
Kind of Steve Sanders-esque.
Steve Slayton. Yeah, it sounds like those the Melrose Place characters that came in the last 2 years when they had the made-up names.
Yeah.
Hunter Kennedy. Like just like two last names thrown together.
Are you aware that by the way, quickly on 90210 Melrose Place,
yeah,
bring that up and I'll get to my two last sleepers.
Yeah.
Are you aware of the Rob Estes controversy?
Because the fact that he was in Melrose Place twice playing two different characters?
No. He's going to be in the new 90210.
Yeah, I knew that.
But not playing the same character. Remember, Melrose Place and 90210 had a number of crossovers, including, I think, Grant Shao dated Kelly, didn't he? Grant Shao and Rob Estes, one of them dated Kelly for a little bit.
Listen, if you're going to start nitpicking all the inconsistencies with 90210 over years, you're going to go crazy. Like, Dylan comes back from his three-year hiatus and has no interest in reuniting with his prostitute half-sister. Like, characters would just come and go, and we just weren't even supposed to think about
them. How many times did Dylan's dad die?
A few. And unfortunately, we had seen him blown up, but somehow he was alive after that. So that's it? Chris Johnson's your only sleeper?
No. I mean, like, I love Ted Ginn Jr. this year. You know, that's a guy. I think, look, Chad Pennington isn't great, but he's a professional quarterback. He's better than what they have. Ted Ginn Jr.'s got all sorts of talent. He's the only guy they got. That team's going to be down.
From what I'm hearing
in Miami, he's catching everything in sight.
What about this guy in Philly?
DeSean Jackson?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like him too. I'm not a big fan of rookie wide receivers generally, but if there was going to be one rookie wide receiver that I could see kind of stepping up, like having like what Dwayne Bowe did last year, I think it's DeSean Jackson. I actually like him the most of any Eagles wide receiver. I actually like DeSean Jackson more than Reggie Brown. You know, Kevin Curtis is out till God knows when. I'll tell you, I think even though they've said Chris Perry's the starter, I think Kenny Watson ends the year with the most rushing yards in Cincinnati.
Somebody's got to come out of that Philly wide receiver mess. Somebody's got to catch 80 balls and 90 TDs.
DeSean Jackson.
I agree with you. I was reading up on him online, and I urge all of you to Google DeSean Jackson. No relation to DeSean Hardell. And people just glowing about him. I always like in the preseason when teammates glow about other teammates.
I mean, I think McFadden is going to have a monster season.
Where do you have him in your rankings?
I have him as a top 20 running back. I think he's a great number two running back.
So he's going to have a monster season, but he's not a number one running back for you?
No, because you've still got Fargus. I think it takes a little while before he, you know, establishes his dominance and everything like that.
All right. What about Troy Smith?
I actually like Troy Smith a little bit.
I like him too. Patrick Creighton?
Love Patrick Creighton.
Did you like him? Did Hard Knocks make you like him more or less?
Didn't watch Hard Knocks.
Oh.
I like a couple things that I like about him. Very quietly caught 7 touchdowns last year. Best, you know, arguably the best passing offense in the NFL, other than maybe your Patriots. And I talked to Terrence Newman, came to Bristol to do like what we call the car wash, so they go through all these things. And every time I meet an athlete, I always just ask him just sort of like generically, hey, so who's looking good in camp, you know, and just see what they say. And he was just like, Patrick Creighton has the best hands I've ever seen. Catching everything by just looks amazing.
You know
what?
Creighton's
going to have a big year.
He fits one of my profiles for as I search and scour the earth for my fantasy sleepers. I like the guy who committed the defensible boner the year before. And by the way, that was almost 90% a chance to say the word boner.
Right.
But I like the boner where the guy has to go back to the drawing board and his teammates kind of blame him, but it's not like career ending. It's one of those like, hey, buddy, you know, that would have been great if you made that play.
You know
and
what
then
I've
he
noticed?
Spends the whole year thinking about it, and he's just motivated. What do you think?
It's the Tony Romo theory from last year.
Yeah.
After the Seattle game where he fumbled the snap. You know what I've noticed? If I can just as you say this.
Yeah.
When scholars study your work, when they look at the catalog of the sports guy.
Yeah.
I think they will notice the theme of redemption being big among your.
I like redemption.
You love redemption, like just as you're mentioned, like you know how you love Hoosiers and you love all those movies that have like redemption as a theme. That's a big thing with you for some reason.
A Shawshank Redemption?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was watching Hoosiers for I think it might have been the 700th time over the summer, and the more I've learned about basketball in the 50s, like there was no shot clock, and if you're up by two with 5 minutes left, you just stalled. And the other team fouled was a huge problem. We'll never figure out what got into the South Bend High coach in the last minute and a half when they're up four with the ball and he calls a play and just things fall apart. Why did they call a play? I can't get past it. It almost has hurt Hoosiers for me because I go crazy. Because even the announcer says, oh, they're calling a play. Like he's just stunned how stupid it was.
Well, maybe
I don't know
why
they did that.
Well, maybe they just felt like, you know, give the other team a chance kind of thing that they wanted to. I can't defend it.
Yeah. Well, you know, also, remember in Teen Wolf when they looped the same Michael J. layup three times? Michael J. Fox layup? They actually have a similar thing in Hoosiers where Jimmy Chitwood catches a running kind of alley-oop layup play where the guy jumps over and just misses blocking it, and it's shown three different times during the game sequence. I got bummed out.
I'm picking
it apart after 20 years. I'm just picking apart these little things with Hoosiers.
The worst game footage, I think, of a major motion picture has to be Any Given Sunday. Try following the actual game in Any Given Sunday and do it with the graphics on the screen, because what they're saying in the huddle or what they're saying on the sidelines doesn't match what the game says. The actual game would be like, come on, this is fourth down, and then you'll see the graphic. It says like third and 10. Like, clearly no one was paying attention in that movie.
Well, that's because they were editing it so crazy. They didn't. I've always wanted somebody to just take all the raw footage and try to make another movie out of what Oliver Stone shot, because clearly he had some great stuff.
Right.
And the Pacino speech, you know, we've all seen on every NBA Jumbotron, but really one of the all-time great sports movie moments. But I feel like there's a great movie in there, and I don't understand why somebody just can't wade back in and make the Any Given Sunday movie that should have been made if Oliver Stone hadn't just completely lost his mind.
I wish there was a way, I wish there was a way, like sort of musicians can kind of do that, right? They can go in, they sample a piece of music, and they can make, like, something else. Like, I wish you could do that with, like, hey, just give me all the footage to Any Given Sunday. Hey, you know what? Hey, George Lucas, let me do Star Wars right this time. I'm gonna cut out who am I thinking of? Who's the really annoying guy?
Jar Banks or whatever?
Yes, Jar Jar Banks. Thank you.
Jar Jar
I blocked him so terribly from my hated that so much.
I would grab the Coen brothers and be like, hey guys, we're going to show Josh Brolin's death. no offense. I know you're trying to be faithful to the book, but the audience has decided we want to see him die. We got attached to him for 75 minutes and you just kind of showed him face down.
Yeah, not cool.
You know what? And by the way, if somebody sends me a nasty spoiler alert email, the movie's been out for a year. If you didn't see it by now, I can't help you.
Exactly. I'm with you. At some point, there needs to be you're on your own.
All right, you better go because we're at the 50-minute mark. Anything else? Did we miss anything?
Tony Scheffler. I like Tony Scheffler. I like Matt Schaub quite a bit. Tony Scheffler is a tight end sleeper. I think Matt Schaub's going to have a big year.
That's what you're ending on, Tony Scheffler? That was your big finish?
That wasn't my big finish. It was just I was trying to finish the sleeper so that people, listen, they're going to yell at me because I didn't promote our fantasy football game. We got free live scoring this year. Free live scoring. You can do an auction draft online, Bill. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Auction draft online on ESPN.com and free live scoring. And, of course, Pigskin Pick'em and College Pick'em. And, you know, you can Eliminator, which is like our Survivor-type game, and College Football Challenge. And Nate and I do a podcast, and all our draft kit is free and blah, 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 blah. It's all fantastic fantasy stuff.
Did I tell you about the fantasy draft I was in with Kobe Bryant?
You did not tell me this. This is outrageous. Did you say anything to him? Were you in the same room as him?
It was a 15-round draft, and he didn't like his team. About 11 rounds in, he quit.
What draft is this?
I made that up. I just felt like making fun of Kobe Bryant.
Because that doesn't sound like Kobe, because he's such a competitor.
Except for the clinching games of 2006 and 2008, when he clearly quit. I mean, you could admit that he quit.
His entire team quit on him. Kobe was the only guy trying out there.
Kobe stopped trying.
Say what you want. I'll tell you this much. Kobe has never left the floor being carried off by teammates only to come back 30 seconds later. He's never been needed to be helped off of a floor.
It's so sad that the Lakers fans are holding that. He thought he was hurt.
Kobe's smart enough to know when he's actually hurt, when he can walk and when he can't walk. Say what you want about Kobe Bryant, but he knows when he can stand up on two legs and when he cannot.
He quit two of their last three NBA games.
No one's ever stabbed him.
Fair point. I have a lot of artillery I could bring back, but I'm going to hold off because odds are they'll delete it. So do you feel good about next year with the Lakes?
I want to see how Bynum looks. But, yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic. I mean, people forget Derek Fisher, the only guy on that team from last year over 30. The only guy.
I'm glad that you're not totally sold on Bynum and you have your guard up, because a lot of the Laker fans out here are convinced that he's going to challenge Will Chamberlain's 1962 season next year and just are not worried at all about the fact that he came back from a very dangerous kneecap injury.
We need 14-8 out of Andrew Bynum. That's what we need. We need like 20 minutes, 20, 25 minutes, and 14-8 out of Andrew Bynum, and we'll be fine.
It'll be interesting to see how he plays with Gasol.
Yes.
I'm not totally sold on those guys playing together. I think it makes them a little slower. I think opens the door for teams maybe to go small on them. But we'll see. You might have missed your window.
Might have. We'll see. I mean, you know, listen, God bless the refs. What was the free throw for?
Oh, the refs now. Interesting.
Well, listen, I'll say this about the NBA Finals, because you were supposed to have a whole NBA Finals podcast, and then you blew me off because you had to talk with the Rick or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And but my point about this is that you know, that second game, what was it, like 35-10? What was the free throw differential, 38-10? Something outrageous like that?
You guys had the series was going to be tied 2-2 in game four, and you blew the lead.
Very true. But if we'd gotten the crazy home cooking in game four the way you guys got it in game two, we should have had either game two or game four. If the refs had either called it equally bad or equally fair in both games, we would have won one of those two games.
Did Kobe play one good game in the series?
Not really.
Game three, he was decent. Should you win a finals when your signature guy does not have one good game in six games? I rest my case. Why, who's our best guy?
Kevin Garnett had one pretty good game.
Pierce was our best guy. I hate to break it to KG, but.
I don't know. There's a whole podcast where you and I talked about KG being the emotional leader and how he should have been MVP. How can you vote KG for MVP and then say Pierce is the best guy on the team?
In the playoffs, KG, in his defense, had a monster game six.
But in KG's defense, everyone had a monster game six.
Eddie Howe scored
50 in game six. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I knew we were going to win when he was headbutting the basket support before the game. I was like, I haven't seen that in 2 months. I'm feeling good. All right, we got to let you go. We can continue this near the season. Good luck with your fantasy. Oh, I forgot my last question. This is a great question.
All right.
And then we'll go. Okay. If you could have any pick from 1 to 10 in a fantasy football draft, which pick would it be?
Give me one.
You take number one.
I'd take number one because
you get 1-20-21?
Yep. Because I think I'll wind up with LT, I'll wind up with a pretty good number two running back, and then I'll have either like Colston or Wayne, or there's possibly Breeze might be there. I'll wind up with three very good players, and then it all evens out.
What would be your second choice?
My second choice would be towards the end on the other side. I'd rather have like 10.
You'd rather go bookend.
I'd rather go bookend. I think you're right. Like, I feel like there's first five guys, and then all those running backs are the same at the back end. I don't want to be in the middle this year. Because I just don't think there's any advantage to being in the middle. I think you either want to be at one end or the other.
I'm at six in my West Coast draft, which is a week from now, and I really like six because I feel like I'm going to get six, and I like who I'm going to get at 15, whoever it is, and then coming back, I'm still going to get maybe at least one of the top 25 and possibly two if somebody screws up, if enough people screw up, you know, kind of add up after a while.
See, but I think if you're at the ends, you're going to get three of the top 25.
Yeah, but if I'm at the ends, then I have to roll the dice with that Barbara Portis, Gore Lynch, Larry Johnson, one of those guys, and I don't like any of those guys.
Then go T.O. and Moss. Like, I would have no problem if you're at nine and you don't like any of those running backs. Go T.O. Moss.
I feel like the fantasy gods would just get upset with that.
They would just
be like, you know what? You can't have those two guys together. We're not going to let you win.
I did a whole thing about the death of the running back thing. It's last year of the top 30 fantasy point getters, only seven running backs.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm with you. I took two quarterbacks with my first four picks in my West Coast draft, and I almost got laughed out of the room. But I was just, I'd rather have guaranteed 20 to 25 points a game at that spot and roll the dice with running backs over take Thomas Jones 37th. Like, I just didn't see it.
Right.
So I hate talking myself into the mediocre running backs. All right, now we really have to go because we're at the 1 hour mark.
Dude,
good luck with
your
drafts.
Thanks, dude. Same to you.
Thanks for coming on. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Target the channel. Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at Podcenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.